open the word now. I just pray that you give me the words to say. Anoint me to speak, Lord. Anoint each heart to hear. Have your own way tonight, Lord. You know what you want said. You know how you want it said, Lord Jesus, and you know what you want to reveal to us. So we're depending on you, Father. Just depending on you, believing, Father, that you will meet our expectations because it is according to your word. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles, read for a verse out of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and then we'll be seated. Hebrews 4, verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You may be seated. So I have a thought that I want to speak on maybe the next couple services. I don't know how long it'll go, maybe just two. I'm going to call this a place of rest. Place of rest. And just as we were singing that song, it just entered my mind that, you know, it says, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Brother and sister, when the seas are calm, it's easy to be at rest. That's, everyone can be at rest. But in the midst of the storm, that's when you need to have a place of rest. That's when it matters because we're all going to go through storms. We're all going to go through hard times. Whether you're a Christian or not has nothing to do with it. Everyone goes through hard times. That's just part of life. That's just be part of being born into this life that we call human life. Everyone has storms. I don't care how rich, how poor. Some people have a lot harder ones than others. But everyone has storms. And it's in the midst of the storm. If you can go to a place of rest, even when the storm is pounding, but you know there's a place of rest. Why? Because you know that anchor still holds. What it does, it gets our priorities straight. Because so many times the storms come up over things that are not shouldn't be a real priority in our life, but they are. And it gets things all out of cater because we have forgot the main thing. And you can go back to the main thing, you can go back to your rest. Sometimes that's what God does with these storms, is keep us focused on the right thing. So, let me just read down here. We're going to just keep reading here through here on this chapter 4 in Hebrews. I'm going to go back to chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So we know we're talking about Israel coming out of Egypt. He was grieved with them, and so he killed them all. Well, he let them die off in the wilderness. He said, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we see that the unbelief was sin. That was what sin was, the unbelief, because God said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to take you to a place flowing with milk and honey. And that's the reason they came out. But when they got there, they said, we can't take this. The unbelief caused them to stop right there and to die. And that's why he said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And what he's saying is, do not be like the children of Israel. When you get to the promised land, don't stop short and say, well, I don't know if I can have it or not. And we know that the promised land is a type of us receiving the Holy Ghost. And so what we become sinful is, I'm not sure we can take it. I'm not sure it's for me. I'm not sure I'm going to be born again. I'm not sure that God has actually called me. I'm not sure he chose me. I'm not sure. I don't know if I can actually be born again. That's where we sin. That's what he's talking about. Don't come short of this promise of rest. Don't allow Satan to get you off on a tangent. And what happens is people, because of this, they take a substitute and they go off and take some sensation or some doctrine or something they're doing and say, oh, I have the Holy Ghost. And they spend the rest of their life trying to convince themselves and the devil that they have the Holy Ghost. That ain't rest. That's not rest when you have to keep convincing yourself you're born again. Or you have to keep convincing other people you're born again. Or you keep arguing with the devil whether or not you're born again. That's not rest. This is the very foundation, brother and sister. Jesus said, I build my church on the foundation of who I am. And that's what you have to do. The revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally is a new birth. And you must have that as your foundation. Everything else sits on that. But if you don't have that to begin with, you're going to spend your life trying to convince yourself you're born again. It's got to be based on revelation. It has to be. Otherwise, you're just going to be a miserable, lukewarm Christian. Because the best you can do is produce is lukewarm Christianity. And God doesn't accept that in this age. For unto us, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they heard the word, they heard what Moses said. They knew what the promise was to Abraham, and they're going to take him back and all this word. But they were not mixed with faith. In other words, it wasn't revealed. Because faith is a revelation. And so the only way it's going to make a difference to you is if it's revealed to you. We're back to that same foundation that you have to recognize that this is for you. And that comes by revelation. It's not because you decide to. We just sing that song. He said, he sought me and he bought me. He came after you. He paid for you and he knew where you were going to come on this earth. And he said, okay, I got one right there. I got one right there. I got one right there. I'm going to get them when it's time. And he came chasing after you. He came after you. He sought you. Surely that's going to give you confidence that he's going to finish the work he started. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'm going to skip a little bit down just because it's not what I really want to talk about. Verse 8, for if Jesus, it actually means Joshua there, if Joshua had given them rest, which is they took the promised land, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So he said, the rest he's talking about, what Joshua did, took the children over Jordan into the promised land, that was just a type of the real rest that was coming. So if that was the real rest there, then all you had to do was go to Israel and live in Israel and you would have entered into your rest. That's not what he's talking about. That was just a type of it, that we are coming to something more that that's type, and which is for us, the rest is the Holy Ghost. Verse 9, therefore remaineth there a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Brother and sister, if anything needs to sink into your heart, it's recognizing that once you have been born again, you have ceased from your own works. Stop working. Stop trying. Stop trying to prove who you are. Stop trying to be a good enough Christian. Stop doing all this stuff and just recognize who you are. I'm going to get on Sunday's message a little bit. But brother and sister, the key to this is not, your rest isn't what you're doing. Your rest is who you are. That's where you get your rest from. You recognize who you are. It's not how good you're living or how bad you're living. When you're found out, you're this, all the way up and down. Oh, I had a bad week. I just don't even feel like going to church. What does that have to do with it? Who are you? Now you don't have to come Sunday because I just finished Sunday service. So you're good the rest of the week. Go home. Come back Thursday. He that has entered in his rest, he has ceased from his own work as God did from his. My, that's good. I wish I'd have got that revelation about 25 years ago or something like that. I'd have quit wasting a lot of time. Because see, as long as you're trying and you're doing your own thing, God can't do it. He says, as long as your hand is on your salvation, my hands are off. But as soon as you're willing to give it to me and believe what I told you, we can get somewhere. What happened when they didn't go and they didn't take the land? And Moses said, you sinned a great sin. And they recognize, oh, okay, well, we're going to go take it now. He said, don't do it. God ain't with you. Oh, we're going to go anyways. They went up there. They got their tails clear across the country because they're trying to in their own strength. God said, I give you the land. He just said, go and earn it. He said, I give it to you. Every point where you put your foot, every step you take is your possession. All you have to do is walk. And that's why we tell him over and over, just keep walking. When you get discouraged, just keep walking. When you don't feel like you can go anymore, just take one more step. That's all God requires. You're taking a step. It's in faith. Amen. He said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He said, wait a minute. He said, you got to labor to enter that race. You got to work for it. Well, if that's what that means, that you got to work for it, earn it, then you haven't ceased your own works. So what is this labor? Let's keep reading and find out. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See, he said, labor and enter this rest, because we are dealing with someone who knows the very thoughts of your heart. You're not going to fool him. You ever try and bargain with him? You try, if I think this way, then he knows you're thinking if I think this way. He knows what you're thinking. I catch myself sometime, well, if I think, you know, it seems like this happens when I'm driving a lot and I'm, you know, coming to church. Well, if I take this attitude and he's going to do this for me, and I stop and think, he knows what you're thinking, Phil. You're not pulling one over on him. You're not like, well, if I just try this a little bit, so foolish. He's like just shaking his head. Come on, Phil. You're still playing these human games? Quit it. He's not going to be moved. I'm not going to control the way he thinks by my actions, by the way I think. Well, if I just have this attitude, he'll do this. And if I... No, he's not. He knows what's good for me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How do you labor to enter into this rest? You fight the battle. You believe what he said. That's the battle. That's how you labor. You fight. You keep walking. And when you don't feel like walking, you take the next step. And when Satan tells you you're not going to make it, you take the next step. And when Satan tells you you're going to die, you take the next step. When Satan says it wasn't for you, you backslid. You just keep taking the next step in faith, because that's your foundation. You're walking on that foundation, and you just keep going. Next thing you know, you're at rest. However he does it. And that's going to be individually. Don't try and get that some way some other people do. Get it your own way. Find out what God wants for you personally. Amen. The main thing that found out, let me go back here to Hebrews 2 and read this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And listen. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He's talking about us. Because human beings, as soon as you start having awareness of what's going on, you are aware that you are going to die. You're going to come up to, I don't know what age it hit you, but sooner or later, you come to a point where you realize, Grandpa died, my dog died, my goldfish died, people, there's cemeteries full of dead people, I'm going to die. And I don't know if you're 3 or 13 or whatever age you were, but it comes to you, and that brother said, that puts fear in the human heart. And you might not think it, well, I wasn't afraid of dying. But yet in your heart, there's something, and maybe it's in your subconscious, but you are afraid to die because no one wants to die. Even if you know you're going to a better place, we still don't want to die. Isn't that amazing? And if you don't know you're going to, you should see, you know, and you've seen it and you've heard about it, people just clinging to life, doing everything they can. I got to keep living, especially those who don't have a hope for something beyond, because they believe once I'm gone from here, and that's it. Especially if they believe in hell and knowing that's where they're headed. They cling to life as hard as you can because there's a fear that comes with death. Brother Branham said he used to be afraid to not die, that he was afraid where he's going, but he didn't know what it was going to be like, and he didn't want to just be a spirit floating around. And he had that vision, and all of a sudden things changed. Still don't want to die. But he said he took away that bondage of fear of death. That, brother and sister, is the main thing. That's your priority. Once that is taken care of, you can be at rest in your storm. That foundation. Go back in your life. I don't know what it was like with you, but I remember for myself very well. When I was trying to live right, when I was a kid, then I grew up, and I quit trying, then God started dealing with me, and I trying to be born again, and there's always a fear knowing that if I die, I'm going to hell. And one day,
That fear went away. That is the rest. My. And now, when you're going through a storm, if you could get back to that, you can be at rest. Because this world, God lets you know, this world is very temporary, and all the things we hold dear to ourselves can be taken away just like that. And you've all had that happen. It can be completely gone, and you're sitting there shook down to nothing. You're saying, oh my goodness, everything's gone. What do I have to live for? And if you have that foundation, you can still go back there and say, yeah, but in the midst of it all, I have rest. If you don't have that rest, you have nothing. You don't have anything. Because that's what matters. That's the priority. That's the main thing. Get that rest. You've entered into the rest. When you have been born again, you've entered into there, and you have something that'll hold you. That's the anchor that'll hold you. Because when you're ready to go crazy, when you're ready to rip someone's head off, when you're ready to just kill yourself, or when you're ready to do whatever it is you feel like doing, I just got to quit. I run away. My mind's going crazy. Yet there's something that holds you, and you can go back there and sit there and find that anchor, and it's still holding you. There ain't nothing like that. Because this whole world can just be gone in a heartbeat. And sometimes God allows these things to happen to rip away our precious things, to get our priorities straight again, strip of us all our ideas, all our stuff. Oh, it's a hard thing in this life. But if you have that rest, it's all worth it. Sometimes I just think of, you know, going back and remembering coming to church week after week after year, and always just something there, just knowing something's not right. And I think I was born again, then I knew it wasn't. I think it wasn't, I knew it was. And just something that just that question. And I know I've said this before, it's worth saying, you know, you go outside and, you know, a day like today is so beautiful. Oh my goodness. And looking around and just being haunted. Because I know that if I die, this will be the last. I will never see this. And there's a place, this is just a very small taste of what that's going to be like. And there's going to be people there enjoying this for eternity. But I won't be one of them. And it'd be just like Satan just mocking me. Say, you ain't going to enjoy. You better enjoy this now, because you ain't going anywhere you're going to like after this. That's misery. And trying as hard as I could to find that place of rest. You talk about the grace of God. My. Why was it, Brother Phil? Because I didn't believe. What didn't you believe? I didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. What you did, because that's why you're... No, because if I had believed, then I would have said, God, save me like you said you would, instead of me trying to help you save myself. That's the unbelief. I should have died and gone to hell for that. Because I didn't believe God would keep his word for me. And I didn't even realize I was disbelieving. See, there's a deception. That's why so many people, they don't realize that they don't believe. I believe the prophet. I believe the message. I believe this. I believe that. But their very life shows they don't believe that God, what he would do, what he said he would do for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be chasing all these crazy doctrines and ideas. Cease from your own works. Let God have his way. That's all he's asking for. He speaks to you, you believe it. There's your battle. Fight that battle. There's plenty more battles. Well, yeah, but what about this? Just fight that battle. Just believe what God tells you. That's all he asks for you. That's all he asks from you. Just believe what I tell you. Let's go look at this foundation a little bit. I'm not going to be very much longer. Brother Branham says this, he vindicates every word. And if we live by it, man shall live by every word vindicated. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Shall follow them that believe. Take a hold of it. God vindicates it. That's the truth.
We need his proof. So many people, they take the doctrines, they take the quotes, they take the Bible, and they try to build their foundation on their understanding of that word. But God vindicates it, and there's where your foundation is. You take that, you take the word, and you believe what God shows you is true. That's what matters. There's your foundation. This is Christ today. This is what God is doing. There's where you can rest. Two people come, you know, well, I believe the message this way. Someone else says, I believe the message this way. What are you supposed to do? Don't do anything until God proves what is right. You know, I said this before several times. It's worth saying again. Brother Branham said, give it the word test. So everyone gives it the word test. You know what the word test is for the average message believer? Do you believe it the way I believe it? If you don't, you're wrong. That ain't the word test. That's your opinion. The word test is, what has God vindicated? Can I give you an example? You shouldn't listen to preachers. You should only listen to the prophet. God has vindicated the fivefold ministry in this day today. Now tell me what to believe. Your idea of what you've taken the quotes out of the message, or what God has proven to be right? There's your answer. There's your vindication. If this fivefold ministry wasn't active and effective today, how many of us would be born again? There's your answer. That's your foundation. That's how you know what God is doing today. See what he's doing. How do you want to know? You don't know what God's doing today? See what he's doing. It's really that simple. He takes the word and he makes it happen. Someone else takes the word and says, well, you got to believe it this way and you got to do this, and God's not anywhere in it. What a mess. But when you see it happening, you know what Satan does? He brings shadows. He brings all kinds of shadows to try and cover that light up. He said, yeah, but what about this? What about this? Can we get personal? You can take this church. Yeah, but what about this? What about this? What about this? I don't know about this situation. I don't like this going on. Brother and sister, look at the light. See if it's producing Christ or not. Get past the shadows. Well, this person's being mean to me, and this person's doing this, and this person. That's just because Satan hates us. Satan hates this church. He's doing all he can to destroy it. Are you going to let him? It's up to us. God says, I've given you a church. You want to go in the rapture? It comes down to, who are you? Who are you? Where the seminaries and theologians inspired by Satan say, you can't trust it. That's for the apostles. The days is past. There's no such thing. That was only meant for the apostles to prove the gospel then. We have learned people today. If that isn't the same spirit around this message, we just need the prophet. You can't trust the preachers. We need to see what God did through the prophet. We just need to look back what the prophet said. We just need the quotes. We just need the tapes. You can't trust what's happening besides that. There's people who are wrong. It's the same spirit they were saying back there when Brother Branham was here. The days of miracles are past. They don't believe that. They believe the miracles are still happening. But you have to follow their church. You have to follow the way they do it and go through the prophet's family to get it. It's the same spirit, friends. The whole thing, you can't trust preachers today. If that is your attitude, you are flat out saying to God, your word is not true. I can't trust you. That's what that's saying. Because if God called me to preach and he can't trust me to preach, what kind of a weak God is that? If he cannot trust the very ministry he called to preach, why did he call him to preach? You say, well, there's some that are very wrong. The majority of them are very wrong. The majority of them are deceived. You know what that means? You know what your prophet said that means? That means there's a real somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means there is a genuine fivefold ministry that is getting people to Christ and will get them in the rapture. That's what that means. He said you can't have a bogus dollar bill and you just have a real one to make the bogus off of. If there's 1,000 message ministers stand up and they're all wrong, there's going to be one of them that's going to be right.
You say, well, what about this one who left and that one who left and that one who left? That just shows off the real one all that much brighter. It depends on what you're looking at.
He said they had better learning than we got now. They knew their message, their prophet, better than we know our message and our prophet. That's what he's saying. Tell me any church that can come up with that Sanhedrin where their great, 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 great grandfathers had to be priests behind them. One crooked word in that scroll, they'd be stoned for it. They had to stay right exactly. They knew that word for word. They had it memorized. Everything in the Old Testament, those priests had it memorized. They could take this Old Testament and just tell you without even looking at it, they could just read it off, just memorize it, say it right out. If they would have had our message, however many sermons we have, 1,000-something or 1,100, 12, I don't know how many it is now, they would have had them memorized. Do you have them memorized? Neither do I. They used to live to study. They would sit there and literally study. I'm reading a book about the Jews. This one guy, he would sleep 2 hours a night. He would get himself in a room. He'd close all the curtains so there'd be no distraction. And he'd sit there for hours, for days at a time with a candle, studying and studying and studying. Nobody does that anymore. And that's good. Solomon said, studying just makes you weary. Not that you're not supposed to study, but you can definitely study too much. They knew their message. But Brother Branham said, but they missed seeing the real kernel of the word when it come, the life. They missed the life. They knew exactly what their prophets had said, but they missed the life. They did not recognize when that word happened around them, when that word came to life. They said that's why they were condemned and called the workers of Satan. See, our... Our message, believe in rags. I'm so sure that we have been so anesthetized, whatever that word is. We are so politically correct. We don't want to call something out. We don't want to make people feel bad. We don't want to make these people uncomfortable. These are good brothers. This is a good message preacher. He has a great church. They have wonderful people in that church. And yet, if they are fulfilling this word, they are workers of Satan. That's what he said. That's what your prophet said. I'm not saying that. He did. Oh, you're not supposed to talk like that about brothers. I had a minister chasing me one time. Yeah, I preached something he didn't like and about a certain brother who I was saying was wrong. So he said, you should preach that way about that brother. He's sincere. He don't see it the way we do, but he's still very sincere. He's a good brother. Okay. Is he a worker of Satan? That's the question. Is he deceiving people? There's the answer. The answer is yes. Because he is teaching the young people something that the Holy Ghost is, that the Holy Ghost isn't. Exactly. I wonder what's going to be on Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, I shouldn't have said anything about him.
Brother Branham says this, Jesus Christ is same. It's got to be everything. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, no matter how much word you try to quote, that don't make it. It's got to be quoted just the way he said it. Then if it's quoted right, he'll vindicate it to be so in your life. See, that's the problem we have. So many people, they just want to look back and see what God did in Brother Branham. They knew that was Christ. He said it's got to be vindicated in your life. There's your foundation. There's your rest. You see the word happen. You see. I can see the Brother Jerry's ministry over the years and the effect it's had on me. And I can see it's the fulfilling of the word. It's had the effect that the word is supposed to have on somebody. Then I see that. That's the foundation. I see the word happening in my life the way it's supposed to happen. There's my foundation. There's my rest.
My life is falling apart, and this is going wrong, and that's happening, and all these bad things, and sometimes I make mistakes, and sometimes I do things I say, Phil, how in the world can you do something like that and still claim to be born again? You know what the Word says? Stop looking at yourself and look at the Word. Is my blood sufficient? Is my grace sufficient for you, or is it not? He said, I knew you were going to do that. You didn't take me by surprise. But God, I just feel so bad. He said, you're supposed to feel bad. Good. Now repent and get up and keep going. Because either what I told you is true or it's a lie. And if I take my actions over what he said, then I'm an unbeliever. Ain't that amazing? That's where you run into trouble. Yeah, but I feel so bad, Brother Phil, because I keep doing these things. I just don't even know if God really called me or not because I keep making these mistakes. Okay, now you're an unbeliever. Is God condemning you or is it the devil? See, there's your question. Now, if you do something wrong, you have a bad attitude about it, God's going to jump up and down on you and you're going to know about it. If a Mack truck can jump up and down on you, it's going to feel like that. But if you have the right attitude and you repent, God's not going to sit there and just hammer you, yeah, but you did this, yeah, but you did this, yeah, but that's the devil talking to you. Recognize it, and for goodness sake, stop believing it. It's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Because he's got all kinds of ammunition to use against you. Yeah, but you did this. Yeah, but you did this. He said, that's how all men know your written epistles read of God. Written epistles is Bibles, is that right? An epistle is a Bible, and you're a written Bible reflecting his word, that perfect man again in God. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Listen carefully. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and you are the same written epistle. What same written epistle? The Word made flesh and dwelling among us. One for one age, one for another, for the light of that hour, but they fail to see it. You reflect it only. It's for you to reflect. You are the written epistle. The Word made flesh. Now, if you believe that as a doctrine, it ain't going to hold you. That's just a good quote. You know the Bible says that. Paul said it. Brother Branham said it. I believe it. Ain't going to hold you. But when you look into the Word and you see yourself being that, then when the storm comes, you can still have rest. That's what matters, friend. You have to enter into that rest. You have to. And the benefits are amazing. Because the benefits are when you leave here, you have eternal life. Now, what can you compare to that? How many times they said it? What would you give in exchange for that? And yet, the vast majority of people do. They give something in exchange. I would rather have this than eternal life. You say, well, how can they do it? Brother Branham, I'm going to read a quote, Lord Wing on Sunday. He said, Judas Iscariot. How could he? I don't see how he could do it. Brother Branham says this about him. But then he tells us why he did it. And that's what we'll talk about Sunday, Lord willing. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate y'all coming. This has been burning on my heart all week to speak, and I appreciate it. If there's no one here to speak to, I had to speak it to the walls, but I still spoke it because it was on my heart. So it's good to have people here. Go ahead and stand.